This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now to bring in, from Philadelphia, the outstanding Jody McDonald. Jody Mack, how are you, my friend? Great to have you back.
Steve Jones, how you be?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. It's always great to hear you.
My pleasure.
I've got to ask you about Jerry West, because you always bring the perspective of being from a family that understands what it's like to be an executive and run a ball club. Jerry West was a great player, but then also had 8 titles as an executive. What's the personality that's needed, and what did you know about Jerry West at all that lent to that personality?
You're right. He was a phenomenal player, and you're truly actually old enough to say that I saw Jerry West play at the tail end of his career when I was just a young guy. So I always thought of him as a player more than an executive. Shoot, the NBA made him the logo for the entire league, but that should not diminish what he did as an executive. He had several different franchises, the Lakers, the Warriors, even Memphis, the time he spent there. He brought them up from obscurity in the NBA. So this was a guy who was an NBA lifer, certainly one of the all-time great players, but also should be looked at as one of the all-time great executives. It's love of the game. If you get in, you're a player, you're an all-time great player. Some guys walk away from it afterwards, get on with the rest of their life. No, basketball was ingrained in Jerry West, and he could not only play the game, but could evaluate talent, and was a tremendous, all-time great executive as well. So, truly a Hall of Famer that was lost yesterday.
And by the way, one of the great, initial two-way players in the game. Jerry West was a great defensive player as well as a tremendous shooter.
Correct. And again, going way back to my childhood, I remember when he made a half-court shot against the Knicks in the NBA Finals, which would have ended the game in today's game because it only counted for 2 points, even though he made it from behind half court to send the game into overtime. Just stone-cold phenomenal player. One of my all-time favorites when I was just a kid.
Yep, I remember the shot, just like you remember the shot that he took. It would have been good for 3. In fact, when I was at the Minnesota Timberwolves practice gym, because Penn State was playing in the Big Ten tournament, they used the gym to get ready for the first game. They had, just in pencil, but a 4-point line. West shot would have been a 4-pointer. Hey, the Phillies are red hot. Won again 4-1 last night with Zach Wheeler on the mound. Schwarber hit a couple of home runs. I know JT is out for maybe 6 to 8 weeks. They play without Trey Turner. What is it about that team that no matter what roadblock is thrown in front of them, injury or whatever, they keep winning?
Well, first thing, I hope you're woefully wrong, because Dave Dombrowski said yesterday about a month. Right. And I guess you could call 6 weeks about a month. 8 weeks would be 2 months as far as I'm concerned. Right. But I'm going to take Dombrowski at his word that it will be somewhere near a month, one side or the other. And I've been saying for 2 or 3 weeks on my WIP show in Philly, the most irreplaceable guy in the Phillies, as great as everyone has been for them to accomplish best record in all of baseball, was JT Realmuto. And sure enough, he's the guy who gets hurt and is going to miss a month. Even saying that, I don't think they should do a damn thing. I think they should sit tight where they are. We'll find out if Stubbs is a guy who, the more you see of him, the less he gives you. I think he's a fine backup catcher. They like Marshawn, the young kid that they've had in the system. He's had some injury issues, but he's healthy now. As your backup catcher, I think that if Dave Dombrowski goes out to try and make a trade for a catcher just to get through this month or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, if you're right, Steve, right, unfortunately so, I think you'd be mistaken. I don't think he needs to do anything. This Phillies team is clicking on all cylinders. They've got a great chemistry. I think that's a big part of why they're as good as they are. They've got a great chemistry in the locker room, and Stubbs is a big part of that. So although you lose a all-star level catcher, you would think that's a big loss. But the Phillies, I think it's something I think they can work through.
First of all, I'll buy your month. That's good. I'm fine with the I'll go with the month. And if you're talking about a month, Jody, to me, I agree with you. It's not worth doing something dramatic. Dombrowski, to his credit, to me, has shown in his career he's not a panic guy. And I think that's important when you're running a team.
And the biggest thing about this particular injury is it's a catcher.
Yeah.
If your first baseman goes down, your third baseman, your center field, whatever, boom, you plug the guy in, he plays defense, he does what he does at the bat. Catchers have to work with your pitching staff. And if you bring someone in from outside, the way that this pitching staff has pitched this year, the last thing you want to do is bring someone in who's not worked with any of these pitchers. That's part of what makes JT Realmuto great, is because he has such a great mind-to-mind relationship with his pitchers, and Stubbs is there every single day in the same rooms, taking the same meetings, breaking down with the pitching coach how they're going to go over their entire lineup. He's the guy. I got to give him a chance before I think about bringing in anybody else. And if it is only a month, if the Phillies play 500 ball over the month that JT is out, which I believe they'll play better, but go for 500, so what? The Braves will be what? Six games out?
Right.
Seven games? They're 10 games out now.
Right. Right.
Do I really think the Braves are going to make this great run? They're going to have to play 700 ball, and they've been nowhere near that this year for them to be able to make up ground against the Phillies.
And they don't have Strider, and they don't have Ronald Acuna. I mean, it's not as if they haven't run into roadblocks. They have. To me, the stat that has said it all to me about the Phillies is that Aaron Nola has a 2.77 ERA, and he's the worst of the starters on ERA.
Of the four, he's not down below Taiwan Walker yet, but the other three guys in the rotation are all ahead of him. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. We're about a month away from the All-Star game. They've got legitimately three starters, and I'm a big Christopher Sanchez fan. He's going to pitch for him tonight.
Yeah.
I'm surprised how good he is. I thought he'd be good. I didn't know he'd be this good. But I think Nola's an all-star. I think Suarez is an all-star. We know Wheel is an all-star. Are they going to have nerve enough to take three deserving Philadelphia Phillies starting pitchers for the all-star team?
Right, exactly. That's what you have to wonder about. What I find interesting is that when they've gone out to acquire somebody over the years, JT, Marsh, obviously Harper, and a list of other people, they seem to bring in a personality that fits the city. Am I being fair about that?
No, I think that's absolutely on point. Harper, no one knew, but as soon as he got here, he let it be known that this was his new home. This is where he wanted to be. That's why he signed his longest contract as he did. That he made himself a Philly guy. Marsh fits in the clubhouse. I think Marsh fits the personality of the Phillies. Yeah, I do believe they take that into consideration. When they're going out and inquiring guys, they know what their clubhouse is. They know the type of guys that are in there, and it's worked well enough for them to be in the NL Championship Series 2 years running. Yeah, they're only going to bring in someone. Not only can they play defense, can they do what's needed on the field, but how they're going to fit in the clubhouse. Dombrowski et al. Have done a great job with that.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned Schwarber, too, because Schwarber is obviously a leader everywhere he's gone. I've got to ask you, but the Eagles going to play the opener against the Packers in Brazil.
Are they going to play? Yeah, sure. Why would you think they're not going to play?
I mean, they're going to play in Brazil, right? Here's my issue with it. Okay, the fans of Philadelphia are among those who built this league and made it into this league. My problem is, why take a home game away from the people in Philadelphia and make it a game in Brazil? I've got a problem with that, because I know that you've got the German games, you have the England games. I'm sorry, but the fans here are the ones that made you what you are. Am I wrong about that?
Everybody takes their turn. They play abroad. Jeff Lurie had to okay. They had to convince him to accept being the team and being an ambassador, just like the Phillies did this past week. And the Phillies and Mets each lost one home game. They made each team the home team for one of the two games. That's part of being part of the collective, that you need to do what's best for the entire league and your other 31 partners. And Jeff Lurie said, hey, maybe it'll help us sell some merchandise. Maybe there's an ancillary benefit from here if we become South America's team, go down there and clean the Green Bay Packers clock. yes, they lose a home game, but they're compensated. They're going to get their part of the gate for what they sell down there in Brazil. So I don't think it's a financial loss. If anything, it's a financial gain. But yes, Eagle fans lose a home game. But knowing Eagle fans, there'll be a whole bunch of Eagle fans in Sao Paulo on the Friday of the opening weekend of the season.
Because I know, for example, a complaint around here is that the NFL is going to play. It's not the Christmas Day games. In order to play Christmas on Wednesday, the four teams that are playing on that Christmas Wednesday have to play on the Saturday before. So it's treated like a Thursday night situation. Well, that Saturday happens to be opposite the college football playoff, which the last I checked was the talent feeder for this league. How did you view that part of it and the fact that they sold off the Christmas Day games to Netflix?
Yeah, I've come to accept that streaming is now part of everyday sports life. If you're going to be a diehard sports fan, you better have streaming services. They're paying a gazillion dollars to be able to get these games. And the NFL is, the bottom line is their business. And that's what the 32 owners look at. They know there's a fine balance between keeping it fan-friendly, but also making as much money as possible. When the scales tip, they're always going to tip to making more money. So that's why as many games will be streamed this year. And it's only going to get, the number's only going to get bigger as the years go on if the streaming services are still willing to pay outrageous sums for a small number of games.
No, and I agree with you. I mean, streaming is a part of the future. It's a combination of everything. Roger Goodell doesn't do a lot of interviews. But if you were to get him on your show, what would be a question you would ask him?
Probably about, with the fact that they're making as much money as they are, and streaming is just adding revenues on top of revenues on top of revenues, and the players get their percentage, so the player salaries are going up and the cap is going up. When are they going to do something to improve the refereeing?
Yeah.
And if it means paying these guys to be full-time employees rather than just weekend warriors to come in and call the games, that's something that with as great as the replay is these days, and you can see it in super slow-mo, and you can find out when a referee makes a mistake in a matter of seconds, I don't think they're dedicating enough to making the referees' jobs, making them better and making their job easier. If they did, I think we'd have improved NFL football.
Yep. Is the game, because of the quality of athlete, is the game too fast for these guys?
Yeah, I hope not, because then we're going to rely on technology to call everything, and referees will just be there on the field to spot the football. It's a fine balance to try and strike on a game-in, game-out basis. It's not easy. I never want to see where every single play is under review, and then we'll have football games that are 4 hours long. But it's a difficult sport to referee because they play as fast as they do, and the athletes are just getting faster and better.
Yeah, see, he and I agree on so much. I mean, I feel the same way that, look, if humans coach it, humans play it, humans should officiate it. And so I'm with you. Just do a better job of training the humans so they can be a part of the mix, because I don't want technology officiating games. That's me. Whether it's baseball, anything. Humans should officiate.
They should have the final say. If they can be aided by technology, we'll take the helping hand. I just don't want the helping hand taken over.
Yeah, aided. Perfect word. Hey, you're the best. Thanks so much for jumping on. It's always great talking with you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Anytime you want to shoot the breeze, Steve, all you got to do is ask.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Jody.
The great Jody Mack. And we're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.